And we're holding on page Nun Dalid in Bava Basra, Ois Chof Gimel at the bottom. We've been learning about the different opinions, whether you can put the all of Torah, and Nevi'im, and Ksuvim into one gigantic scroll, and whether you can have one of just all of Nevi'im, let's say, and in that connection we talked about the size of the Sefer Torah, and then that brought us into a whole discussion about the size of about the space in the Aron and the Sefer Torah that was there. So now getting back to this matter of the Nevi'im, suppose that you follow the opinions that you can have. We said that we learned before there was a three-way machlokas. We had Rav Meir saying you could put all 24 books of Tanakh into one big scroll. Rav Yehuda saying that you have to have each section by itself, Torah by itself, Nevi'im by themselves, Ksuvim by themselves, but at least you can have all of the Nevi'im in one scroll. And then the Chachamim said that each one has to be in its own individual scroll. So now, if you follow one of the first two opinions and you're going to have all the Nevi'im together in one scroll, then what should be the order? Tanan Abaran, we learn in Braisa, Sidran Shal Nevi'im, the order of the Nevi'im is as follows, Yeshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, Yeshaya, Ushneim Osir, otherwise known as Trei Osir. Shneim Osir is Hebrew, Trei Osir is Yiddish, but is Aramaic, I mean both of them mean 12, because there are the divorce of 12 Nevi'im in there. So mostly it's chronological. Yeshua comes first, of course, right after Chumash, then Shoftim, then Shmuel, then Melachim. Those four are one continuous story. Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, Yeshaya, and Shneim Osir, and Trei Osir are out of order chronologically. The Gemara is going to deal now with why they're in this order. The fact that we have Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, Melachim Aleph, Melachim Beis, that's something when the Goyim split up 700-800 years ago, when they came up with the concept of chapters, they also divided some of the longer Sforim of Tanakh into two, Shmuel, Melachim, and Divrei Yomim, also Ezra and Nehemiah, and eventually all of those divisions of Sforim and also of chapters eventually became so widespread that even Jews started adopting them, and that's how it is Adei Yemezeh, you find in pretty much all printed Tanakhs, you'll find that they use them. But in essence, all of Sefer Shmuel is one book, and all of Sefer Melachim is one book. You look even, in fact, at the end of each Sefer, you'll find notes about the Masorah, how many psukim are in it, which is the middle pasuk, and so forth. You won't find that at the end of Shmuel Aleph or Melachim Aleph. You'll find it at the end of Shmuel Beis and Melachim Beis on behalf of the entire Sefer. Okay. So, the Gemara says, now, let's look at the order of Trei Osir. Mechti Hoshea Kodim. Let's consider. Hoshea, among the Nevi'im that we're listing over here, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, Yeshaya, and Hoshea, who was the first of the Trei Osir, Hoshea was actually earlier than all of them. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, Tchilas Diber Hashem B'Hoshea. The beginning of the speaking of Hashem to Hoshea. Now, in Parshat Chat, it means the first thing that Hashem says to Hoshea is such and such. But the expression, Tchilas Hashem, Diber Hashem B'Hoshea, makes it sound as though the first time Hashem spoke with anybody is with Hoshea. So what do you mean? V'chim Hoshea Diber Tchila. Hashem didn't first speak to Hoshea. V'alemi Moshe, V'ad Hoshea, Kama Nevi'im Hoyu. There were many Nevi'im from Moshe until Hoshea. Hoshea lived in the time towards the middle of the time of the first Beis Hamikdash. He lived towards the end of the kingdom of the Aseret HaShevatim. So he's approximately 700 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So during those 700 years, there were no lack of Nevi'im. Why are we saying Tchilas Dibra Hashem Boshea? And if it just meant that this is the first thing, and Marashah says, if it just means the first thing that Hashem said to Hoshea was such and such, then why even bother mentioning it? So of course, Hashem, the Navi has to begin somewhere. We would assume that the Nevuos are written in order, and therefore that the first thing it says in Hoshea is the first thing Hashem said to him. So the Amr of Yechanan, so Rabbi Yechanan explains, it means means that Hoshea was the first of four Nevi'im that Hashem sent to give Nevuah during that period. Namely, Rashi explains by Hoshea, Yeshaya, Amos, Umicha, in that order. So Rashi points out by each one of them, Hoshea, which is we're saying is the first of Terei Osir, Yeshaya, who has a sefer of his own because he had a lot of nevuos, which isn't to say, by the way, you know, the Hoshea, Amos, and Micha, it's not that they necessarily had fewer nevuos. In English, sometimes they call them the 12 minor prophets. They're not any more minor than what they call the major ones, Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, and Yechezkel. No, they call them minor, and then we have them all in one sefer because the number of nevuos of theirs that's recorded is fewer. The largest of them, of Treyasa, Hoshea, and Zechariah, are around 200 psukim apiece. Meanwhile, the larger ones, Yeshaya, Yumi, and Yechezkel, are somewhere around 1,300 psukim. The Gemara mentions in, the Gemara explains in Megillah, that b'chlal, there were many nevuos, there were over a million nevi'im. The Gemara says, but we only know of a couple of dozen, because only the one, what? The Gemara says that there were over a million. The Gemara says, Kiflayim to Yotzi Mitzrayim, twice as much as the number of Jews who left Mitzrayim. So since we talk about 600,000, okay, that's only the men, but fine, that's the number that's given, then it means that there were about 1.2 million Nevi'im throughout Jewish history. However, the Gemara explains that only Nevuos that were needed for future generations were written down. The Rambam explains, b'chlal, we usually think of a Navi as his job is to foretell the future. That's not really the job of a Navi. The job of a Navi is to give us a message from the Eibishter. Sometimes that can be foretelling the future, which is, where in English, the word prophet means just that, somebody who foretells the future. But the word Navi, in Lashon Kodesh, actually, the word Navi really means a spokesman. But a Navi is a spokesman to tell us what Hashem wants of us. So the vote is, now that I'm explaining, sometimes, for example, a Navi might have a Nevuah, which is, a person has to work on himself a lot, and he has to fartifzich in a lakos, and become, and then completely connect himself to Hashem, and then he'll have Nevuah. So now, sometimes a Nevuah may be in order to deepen his own personal connection with Hashem. So, for example, he'll be given, the Nevuah, he'll be given secrets of Torah that are meant for his own ears. So those kinds of things.
Sometimes one message is there is a Navi or Nevi'ah that was just for one message.
So sometimes you have. Well, so sometimes we do have among the 48 Nevi'im that the Rashi lists them in on Masechta Megillah. There are some of them where we have only one Nevuah of theirs recorded.
Okay.
So I suppose the same thing could be with some of the female right. Nevi'ahs as well. Yeah. Be that as it may, though, the point would be that only those whose nevuos were written were needed for future generations are recorded. So it comes out. In other words, we have to say with Hoshea and with Amos and Micha and the rest of the Treyaser, it was the Chachamim who wrote it down. The Gemara is going to say soon. It was the Anshei Knesset Gadola who put that book into its finished form. They decided that the only certain nevuos, only a small number of nevuos of theirs need to be recorded for future generations. It could also be some of them may have just been one-offs, like the Navi is told to tell the people of that time, do tshuva or else, basically. So it's not necessarily meant as a message for future generations. In any case, so the order was Hoshea, Yeshaya, Amos, and Micha. Rashi points out by all four of them in the heading in the first or second pasuk of their sefer, it says the names in the first pasuk of each one. It says the names of the kings in whose times they said nevuah. By Hoshea it says that he was in the times of Uzziah, Yosam, Ochaz, and Yechizkiah. By Yeshaya it says the same thing. However, the difference is that Hoshea started saying Nevuah. What it is Yeshaya, the pasuk, Perek Aleph of Yeshaya, the Perekim of Yeshaya are not necessarily in chronological order. The first Nevuah that he had is Perek Vav, which we have as the Haftorah for Parshas Yisrael. He sees the Eibishter Yoshev Akvisei Ram Menisa, and he sees and a Malach touches his lips with a coal, and so on and so forth, the whole thing over there, and Hashem says, I need to send somebody, Esmi Eshlach, who am I going to send as a Navi to the Jewish people, and Yeshaya takes on the job. So that's his first Nevuah. The Pasuk says that was Bishnas Mois HaMelech Uzziyahu, in the year that Uzziyahu died. Now, Rashi explains, based on Midrashim, that it does not mean actually the year that Uzziyahu died, it means the year he got Saras. What happened was, in Divrei Hayamim, it tells the story, Uzziyahu mistakenly thought that it would be an honor for Hashem that he, a king, should bring Torah to Hashem, the king. And in the Goyish world, that kind of thing, Lavda was very common. You find all the time, you find statues and whatnot of them, of bringing korbanos to their getchkas. So Lavda, Uzziyahu thought the same thing, but which of course is wrong. The upshot was that he got Saras and he remained with Saras for the last 25 years of his life. So Yeshaya started saying Nevuah in that year. Meanwhile, Hoshea was a little bit before that. Almost also. Micha is last. Micha doesn't mention Uzziyahu. It only mentions Yosam Ochaz Yechizkiah, which means that he only started his career as a Navi after Uzziyahu had actually passed away. In any case, so you have four Navim at that time. The Malbim, I think, says an interesting idea, that you find two of them, their nevuos are mainly focused on the Aseret HaShvatim, namely Hoshea and Amos. And two of them, Yeshaya and Micha, are mainly focused on the kingdom of Yehuda. Because that's how it was at that time. It's getting close to the time the Aseres HaShavotim are going to soon be going into Golus if they don't do Tshuva. So Hashem sent two Nevi'im to reinforce the message that he wants them to do Tshuva. And the same way, Yehuda, they almost would have been destroyed by Sancheirib also if it hadn't been for the massive Torah learning project that Chizkiyahu started. And therefore also the Eibush to set two Nevi'im to, at that time, Yeshaya and Micha. In any case, so therefore that's what it means, Tchilas Dibur Hashem Hosheya, means in that generation, the first one that Hashem spoke to was Hosheya. So why isn't Sefer Hosheya come before Yeshaya? So the question is, V'liktimela Hosheya Bereisha. So why don't we put Hosheya before Yeshaya? The answer is, Kivin Dichtiv Nevuose Gabischayo Malachi, because his Nevuos are in the same large Sefer. Tereyos, there is one big Sefer, and it's together with the Nevuos of Chagai, Schari, and Malachi, who were the last of the Nevi'im at the time of the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. V'chagai, the Inhu, V'chagai, Schari, Malachi, Sof Nevi'im Havu, they were the last of the Nevi'im. At the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, Choshev Le'Ba'adayu, therefore Hosheya goes together with them at the end of Nevi'im. Even though chronologically he was before Yeshaya, but his sefer is part of his nevuah is part of a larger sefer that includes the later Nevi'im. Well, the question is, why do they have to be in one big sefer? V'lichtav el chodei, let Hosheya's nevuah be written as an independent sefer, v'lichtimei, and put it before. So then the order should be Yeshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim, Hosheya, then Yeshaya, and go from there. And the answer is Ivy de Zutter, because it's a small sefer, Nirkas. It could get lost. It could get overlooked if you have a large scroll of Nevi'im, like we're saying before. You're going to go from Melochim to Yeshaya, and you're going to not realize that Hosheya is there. If you write in a scroll of its own, as the Chacham say, every sefer has to be written in a scroll of its own. It might be lost altogether because it's small. The whole thing is only about 200 psukim. So therefore, they wanted to make it part of a larger sefer. Now, when it comes to the five Megillas, the five Megillas are indeed very small. The smallest of them, Rus, is only 85 psukim. The largest of them, Kehelas, is also around 220 some psukim. There the Chachamim didn't want to include them all in one big sefer because, that the Rosh gives a reason, because each of them was written by somebody else. As opposed to Trei Osir, the Gemara is going to say soon that all of it was written, or at least all of it was finished, by the Anshe Knesset Gdola, and therefore it's fine to put it all as one big sefer. There is a practical fact also that the five Megillas are read in public. In Esther we have by itself, Eicha by itself, and the Velt, they read the other three on the Sholosh Regalim, so therefore maybe there's less of a concern that small scrolls like that will be lost, given that they need them all the time anyhow. Kehelas and Shir Shirim were written by Shlomo, sure. But the rest of them, Eicha, Esther, and Rus, were written by different people. The Gemara is going to give the list soon. The Gemara is going to give the list soon of who wrote what. As opposed to Trei Osir, now we could assume maybe, you know, fine, each of the Nevi'im of Trei Osir maybe wrote his Nevuos in his times, like just as notes for himself. But they didn't write them as a book of Tanakh. The Anshe Knesset Gdola are the ones who made it officially a book of Tanakh. So they all go together. Maushur brings up the question, within Trei Osir itself, the order seems to be out of order chronologically. We're saying Hosheya was first, and then a couple of years after him, almost, and later on, Micha. But the actual order of Trei Osir goes as follows. Hosheya, Yoel, Amos, Ovadia, Yona, Micha, Nachum, Chavakuk, Sanya, Chagai, Scharia, Malachi. Now the first six of them, the last six of them are pretty much in order. Nachum was in the times of Menashe Melech Yehuda. Sanya, Chavakuk was also in that period. Sanya is in the times of Yoshiyahu. Chagai, Scharia, Malachi at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. So fine, those six go in order. But the first six, Hosheya, Yoel, Amos, Ovadia, Yona, and Micha, don't really seem to be in a logical order. In particular, Ovadia is usually, the Gemara identifies Ovadia with the one of that name who was Achav's chief of staff, which places him about 100 years before Hosheya and Amos and Micha. Yoel, there's different opinions when he lived. One opinion places him in the times of Menashe. So Maharsha just wonders about that and doesn't really give an answer for it. Why indeed are they in this order? The Abai Banel, in his introduction to Treyaser, explains basically as follows. Basically, we do want to go in chronological order, so therefore we have Hoshea, but then we stick in Yoel. He explains because there's certain themes that Yoel and Amos have in common, in particular with both of those Sfarim, and with talking about the destruction of Edom, and therefore, so we want to have them back to back, and after them, Avadia, as if to say, like, the two of them learned that from Avadia, whose entire Nevoah is all about the destruction of Edom. It's that sort of Parshas Vayishlach. So therefore, that explains that. Hoshea, then Yoel, then Amos, then Avadia. Then we continue in chronological order from there, Yoina, and then Micha, and so forth. But the first four, it's really the first four that are out of order because of that, because we're dealing more with themes rather than with the order in which they said Nevoah.
There was no king in the time of Yonah.
In the time of Yonah, there was kings of Yehuda and of Yisrael. During his times, so actually we find like this. Yonah had quite a career as a Navi. The first time we hear, first of all, the Medrash says he was the boy that Eliyahu revived. You have the story with the Ishat Sarfasis, who provided, Hashem sent Eliyahu to her house to provide him food during the famine. So, and then her son became very sick and passed away, and she comes complaining to Eliyahu, and Eliyahu davens to the Eidosh and gets the key of Tchias HaMeisim. Chazal say that boy grew up to be Yonah. Later on, we find there came a point when Ahav's dynasty had to be wiped out for all the Avodah Zarah and all the other Averas that they had done. And so Elisha sends one of his Talmidim to anoint Yehu as the next king of Israel. Again, Chazal tell us that young Navi at the time was Yonah. Later on, the Pasuk mentions a Nevuah of his, that Hashem will help the Jewish people, and that this was in the times of Yeravam ben Yoyash, a descendant of Yehu, so this is one of the later kings of Yisrael. And then, of course, we have the Sefer of his that we lay in on Yom Kippur afternoon, which is one of Treyaser. So that's his career in a nutshell. So the point is, again, the Abai Banel is saying that the first four are kind of out of order, but that's because we're going more based on themes rather than based on chronology. The rest of them, the other eight from Yonah and on, are pretty much are in the Seder in which they actually live. So let's continue. The Gemara says, Mechti Yeshaya kodim leYumia v'Yechezkel. Yeshaya came long before Yumia and Yechezkel. Yeshaya lived in the times of Chizkiyahu, which is 100 odd years before the Churban. And again, he started saying Nevuah in the times of Uzziyahu, which is almost 200 years before the Churban. And meanwhile, Yumia and Yechezkel both lived through the Churban by Slishin. So why is his sefer placed after them? Liktim Yeshaya Bereisha. Shouldn't Yeshaya be placed first? Now, in present day Tanakh, when you have one volume Tanakh, or for that matter, when you have multi-volume ones and they're numbered, you will in fact find it in that order. The Radak and some other Mefoshim say that was the minhag in Spain. The Taka did go in chronological order with the large Nevi'im, unlike what the Gemara is saying over here. Whereas it seems that in Kisveyad, in Germany, in France, and other parts of the Jewish world, they stuck to the order that says here in the Gemara. But fine, the order that we're saying over here, again, if you have them in one large scroll, why is Yeshaya after the other ones? So the answer is, again, it's a matter of themes. Kivin de Melachim Sefer Churbana. Melachim ends with the story of the Churban. The last psukim of it, the last chapter of it talks about Churban by Yisrishin. The last psukim of it talk about how Yehoyachin was taken out of jail and honored by Evel Meroidach. But still, it ends with that stage of Jewish history. The Yumia Kulei Churbana. Yumia is basically all about the Churban. Now, not all. He has Nevuah of Nechama. We have, for example, we lay one of them, for example, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, where Koyam Hashem Motzachem Amidbar, and that whole chapter is beautiful, Nevuah of Nechama, and there are others. But mostly his Sefer is about the Churban and about warnings about how it's going to come if the Jewish people don't do tshuva. So therefore, it goes thematically together with Malachim. The Yechezkel Reishei Churbana V'Sefer Nechemta. Yechezkel, the first half of his Nevuah is also Nevuah about the Churban. Also in the same vein as Yumia. But then from the second half of the Sefer and onward, he shifts to Nechama. again, you have a little bit mixed in here and there in each half, but basically the second half is all Nevuos of Nechama. You have a long section over there with Nevuos about the various Goyish nations. After that, he has Nevuos about how, about Nevuos about Mashiach, and about how Eretz Yisrael will be fruitful again, and the dried bones, and Yehuda and Yosef coming back together, and Nechama's Gog and Magog, and the third base of Mikdash. Those are the themes of the second half of Sefer Yecheskel. So almost all about Gaula. About Nechama. The Yeshaya called Nechemta, and Yeshaya is almost all Nechama. Again, not all of it. Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz is not exactly Nechama. But on the whole, most of Sefer Yeshaya is Nevuos of Nechama. In fact, in that connection, when I was talking about a couple of minutes ago, how you have the part over there in Yeshaya Perek Vav, where the Eveshta says who's going to go and say Nevuah to the Jewish people. I need someone to volunteer. And Yeshaya says, here I am, Hineni Shlocheni. So the Medrash says on that, the Eveshta says, as a reward for that you volunteered, you're going to get to say more Nevuah of Nechama than any other Navi. And we have, for example, you look at during the 7 weeks, during the Shiva de Nechemta, the 7 weeks after Tisha B'Av, all the Haftaras are taken from the last part of Yeshaya, which is one Nevuah of Nechama after another. So therefore, Samchinen, Churban al-Churbanim, Nechemta v'Nechemta. Therefore, we put together topics of Churban, the end of Malachim, most of Yirmiyah, and the first half of Yechezkel, and then following that, the Nechama, the second half of Yechezkel, and all of Yeshaya. So again, in many places, they ended up having the minhag to write them in chronological order, and that's how you'll generally find it in printed Tanakhs nowadays. Okay, so that's the order of Nevi'im. Now, Tana Rabbanan, then we learn in another Braisa, Sidran Shok Ksuvim. Now let's talk about the order of the books of Ksuvim. Rus, the Sefer Tilim, Eov, Mishlei, Kehelas, Shirashirim, Kinos, which is another name for Eicha, Daniel, Omegilas Esther, Ezra, the Divrei Yomim. Ezra nowadays, you have Ezra and Nehemiah, but again, they're really originally one sefer. There you actually have something that I've mentioned before in this shir from the Chidah. He says a deeper reason, male of the other ones, that the Goyim split up. Okay, it's because they were long Sfarim, and they didn't like having a long sefer, so they split it in two. Ezra and Nehemiah, the whole thing is less than 700 psukim. Why would they need to split it up? He says, the reason is because Ezra and Nehemiah, later on, they were nisgalgal, their neshamas were nisgalgal in respective Ezra and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Nehemiah and Ram Gamliel. And we know the whole story of Ram Gamliel being deposed as Nasi and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah being appointed instead, that whole story in Brachas. So the Chidah says that therefore it was eventually decided, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that Nehemiah by rights should have had the Sefer named for him. He wrote more of that Sefer than Ezra did. The section nowadays that's called Nehemiah is about like 1.5 times as long as the part that's called bears Ezra's name. But the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin a couple of reasons why Nehemiah lost that privilege. Anyway, the Chidah says that eventually it was decided, min hashamayim, that it can be reinstated. His neshama went through that humiliation with the whole story of Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and therefore he can have the Sefer name, therefore he can have his half of the Sefer named for him after all. In any case, so that's the order the Gemara is saying over here. Couple of details in here. Why do we call Tehillim Sefer Tehillim? So in fact, there are the printed Gemara does not the printed Gemara does have the word the Sefer Tehillim. Some Ein Yaakov, the Mechaber of Ein Yaakov didn't, and various other Rishonim talk about that maybe the word shouldn't be there. If we have the word the Sefer Tehillim, the reason is because Tehillim is kind of like Chumash. We know that there are five books of Tehillim, just like there are five Chumashim. The Gemara mentions in Kiddushin that it even has a similar number of psukim and almost the same number of psukim as Chumash. How to understand that is a whole question in its own. But anyway, so it can be called Sefer Tehillim. And then we call Megillas Esther that because, of course, it has to be written as a separate Megillah, unlike the other ones can all be written as one big volume. So now, again, basically this is going chronologically. Rus takes place almost the earliest of them. We're going to talk about Eov in a minute. But Rus takes place in the time of the Shoftim. Tilim is David HaMelech, a few generations later. Eov we'll talk about soon. Mishlei, Kehelas, Shashirim were all written by Shloimeh HaMelech. There are different opinions among in Midrashim what order Shloimeh wrote those three Sfarim in. Rashi brings over here that it seems to me, Rashi says that he wrote Shashirim when he was old, and therefore the Gemara is putting it last among his three Sfarim. The Medrash has different opinions about it. One opinion, the Medrash is just the opposite, that he wrote Shir HaShirim when he was young, Mishlei in middle age, and Kehelas when he was old. The Medrash says, like, you know, when a man is young, he thinks about love, then that's what Shir HaShirim is all about. When a man is middle aged, he thinks about good advice for life, which is what Mishlei is. And when a person gets older, what was it all worth? And that's the theme of Kehelas. Yeah. I once came up with an idea. You know, here we're coming around the cusp of Yud Shvat now. May as well talk something about the Friedrich Rebbe. Now we know, you know, during Sukkot we have the seven regular Rishvizin, and we have also the seven Chassidish Rishvizin. The Rebbe talked about sometimes also that there's a connection between Shmini Atzeres and the Friedrich Rebbe. It's also brought in Sfarim that there's a connection between Shmini Atzeres and Shlomo HaMelech. We see that Torah we read on Shmini Atzeres is actually about Shlomo. Vayikachalas Shlomo. So as I once came up with an idea that the themes of those three Sforim reflect the three Tkufas in the Friedrich Rebbe's Nesius. The Rebbe talks about the first Tkufa was in Russia with open Mesiras Nefesh against the Goyim who are trying to break down Yiddishkeit. That corresponds to Shir HaShirim with the passionate love between us and the Eibishter. The next one, Mishlei, a large part of it is about the importance of learning Torah, and especially Pnimius HaTorah, which was the Friedrich Rebbe, which was the theme of the Friedrich Rebbe's Avoda during the years in Poland to try and convince the Jewish world of the importance and greatness of Chassidus. And then he comes to America and America is Nish Andish, and it's not all about making money and everything, which is the theme of Kehelas, Havel Avolim, Hakol Havel, nothing Gashmiistic really is worthwhile unless it serves Torah. So in that sense, there's a certain commonality. Thank you. Okay. So fine. So then afterwards, you have the three Sforim of Shloimeh's. Kinos is Eicha is next. It's about the Churban. Daniel takes place during Golos Babel. Megillas Esther takes place also during that Golos shortly after Daniel. Ezra is at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. Divrei Yomim is kind of an overview of all of Jewish history up to that point. So it goes last. Here also, Rishonim talk about they had in their manuscripts, they sometimes had them in different orders, and nowadays also in printed Tanakh, they usually put them in a different order. They usually put Tilim, Mishlei, and Iyov first, then the five Megillas, and then Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Divrei Yamin.
I just wonder, what's the point of Tishah B'Av? To sit and say 3-4 hours of Kinnis. What's the point of
saying Kinnis on Tisha B'Av? The 3-4 hours. Well, let me ask you this. First of all, as a practical matter, what else are you going to do? Hold on.
It's just going to make you miserable.
You asked a good question. Now let's give an answer. First of all, Balabatish, what else are you going to do Tisha B'Av day? You can't learn most parts of Torah. You can't even sit on a normal chair in Tochatzos. What are you going to do? You might as well baklog zif over the churban. But no, the fact is, if you don't know what they mean, get a good translation and say them with the translation, because otherwise you're missing the whole point. But fine. No, look at the translation at least. But no, the point of the kinnis is really, I mean, the ones that are about the churban are to realize Pashut what we lost. We go around day to day. Do we really think of that we're missing something without having the Beis Hamikdash? The average person doesn't really think that way. So Kinnis comes to tell you that, you know what, this is something that you have to have on your mind at least now. And therefore to be pleading with the Eibishter to rebuild it. The kinnis about the Crusades and various other times of Mesiras Nefesh are to mourn for that, to ask the Eibishter to take revenge on the Goyim for what they did. And again, these things can't just be forgotten. We can't just go about normally and okay, it's all in the past, big deal, who cares about it? It doesn't go that way. But the ikkar is that a person should realize for themselves we're missing something. We're missing a Beis Hamikdash. We're missing these Kedoshim U'Tahorim. And. Okay. So basically they're chronological. However, the Gemara asks, Solomando Omer Iyev Bin Mei Moshe Hoya. Now what about, though, there is an opinion, which the Gemara is going to discuss later on. We're going to have a whole discussion about Sefer Iyev, about Iyev the man, and Iyev the Sefer. And the Gemara is going to bring many different opinions when Iyev lived.
There's a whole about whether the guy existed or...
Yeah, we're going to get to that. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Relax. We'll get to that. Yeah. Okay. So there is an opinion that he lives in the time of Moshe. And in fact, there's interesting ideas. The Gemara is actually going to say soon that Moshe wrote Sefer Iyov. So Tosfos asks, in that case, what do you mean, Lamando Amo? This Braisa itself is going to go on to say that Moshe wrote Iyov. So Tosfos said, fine, at the point when the Gemara is asking the question, it didn't yet know the second half of the Braisa. how it is that that Moshe came to write Sefer Iyov, that Ramban explains in his introduction to Sefer Iyov that the Eibishter told Moshe to write it. In order to strengthen, especially to strengthen the emunah of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, they should realize that there's a lot of suffering in the world, and we don't know why it is, but we know the Eibishter is running the world, which is what Sefer Iyov is all about. The Malbim actually says it wasn't even commanded by the Eibishter. Moshe on his own wrote it in order to encourage the Jewish people in Golus Mitzrayim, but it became part of Kisra Kodesh because then Hashem approved of Moshe writing it, basically. But yeah, so according to that opinion that he was in the time of Moshe, and as the Braise is going to go on to say that Moshe himself is the one who wrote it, but Likdame le'iyav v'reisha. The question is, why don't we put iyav first in Ksuvim? In that case, it comes even before Rus, because Rus takes place during the time of the Shoftim, and iyav, meanwhile, is in the time of Moshe a couple hundred years earlier. And the answer is, Aschulit pura nisa loy maschilinun. The answer is, we don't want to begin with puranus. We don't want to begin with a disaster. Say for Eov, okay, it starts out with Eov being rich and everything, but right away you have the Satan comes in and starts accusing him, and the Eivishter says, go ahead, do with him whatever you want, and Eov loses all of his family and possessions and so on and so forth. You don't want to begin a whole segment of Tanakh with a sefer like that. So the Gemara asks, Rus nami puran rus tahava. Okay, but Rus also begins with a disaster. Vahid meshvayt ha-shoftim, vahid ro'a varif. There was a famine. The answer is, puran rus de islay achris. Yes, it was a bad time, but it had a future. A good thing came out of it. The Omer of Yechon, lomen nikra shma rus. Why was Rus so named? She yotzim amen and David, because David descended from her, she rivohu la'kodesh baruch hu b'shiris over toshvachas. He sated, he satisfied, so to speak, Hashem with praises and with songs and praises. Now, Sefer Rus is, there's a lot of reasons why Sefer Rus was written, but one of them is to establish the yichus of David HaMelech. And the last sukkim of it, you have that Rus and Boaz married, and they had a son Ovid, who avi yishai avi David, and then it goes in traces from Peretz all the way down to David. So one reason for the Megillah is in order to establish the Yichus of David. So we see, therefore, that the whole Puranus, the famine, and the death of Rus's husband, Machlon, and so on and so forth, it all brings to this glorious future of David praising Hashem with Shiras v'Tishbachas. Therefore, there's nothing wrong with beginning Ksuvim with that.
But in their lives, they suffered. In other words,
in their lives, they suffered, but nevertheless, we're saying that it had a... So Tosfos brings up a couple of points in this. First of all, in that case, fine, we don't want to put Eov first. Why not put it right after Rus, then? Why not have Rus, Eov, then Tilim, and then the rest? And the answer is because since the end of Rus, since we're saying the outcome of the story of Rus is David praising Hashem, therefore, right after Rus, we want to have Tilim. One flows into the other. So therefore, we only want to put Eov only after that. Then Tosfos also points out another thing. If you look at the structure of Tilim, Mishlei, and Eov, they all have a lot in common. They all have very short psukim, and they all actually have a different system of truk than the other 21 books of Tanakh. The beginning and end of Eov actually does not. The beginning and end of Eov have the same system as is used in the rest of Tanakh, but that's because they're prose, they're a story. But the middle, most of Sefer Eov, which is the debates between him and his friends, and then afterwards the Eivishter speaking to Eov, those are written with a different system of Torah called Tamei Emes. So therefore, we want to put the three of them together. Therefore, we have Tilim, Eov, Mishlei in that order.
Do you know how to read it?
I actually have, some years ago I came across, so like this, Ashkenazim, it seems, have lost the Masorah for reading those Torah. It's brought, the Tzemach Tzedek knew them, the Ravash, the Baruch Shalom knew them, but it seems to have been lost. There are Saudish Kehillos that have in particular the Syrians, have a Masorah of them. There's actually, I've come across online, there's a boys yeshiva in the old city, they're called Zilberman's yeshiva, they sit in the Chor of a Shul and they learn. They teach the boys Tanakh, the whole Tanakh. And they wanted, some years ago, they teach it to them with Torah. What were they going to do for Tilim, Mishlei, and Eov? So one of the teachers over there researched the system of Torah that the Syrians used. He kind of made like a more Ashkenazi style of it, and something that Ashkenazim are a little more comfortable with, and he started teaching it to the Talmidim. He put recordings of them online. I have actually, I downloaded and learned those recordings, so I do actually, I know I've learned that system.
Oh.
Yeah. If you want afterwards, I can give you a sample.
Concert here.
A concert, I don't know I can do, but I can give you a sample later.
The Olay is
stronger than a Snachta, and you have the whole system of Tzurup in those three Sfarim is utterly different than in the other 21 books of Tanakh. Yeah. So therefore, Tosfos says, we do want to put them together, therefore Tosfos says, now later on, the Gemara is going to have an opinion that Eov lives in the time at the beginning of Bais Sheni. So in that case, it should go near the end, around Ezra and Nehemiah. But the answer is, again, we want to have these three Sfarim that have the same style. We want them together. And again, in printed Tanakhs nowadays, they start Tilim, Mishlei, Iyov, then the five Megillas, and they also, the point is to have the three of those together for the same reason. Tosfos actually brings another point as well, another reason why Tilim and Iyov go very well one after the other. Tilim, the Gemara is going to go on to say, the Braisa is going to go on to say, David wrote it using the contributions of 10 Zkenim, 10 Chachamim from before his times. Iyov also had features, contributions from four people, Iyov's three friends and Elihu. So therefore, in that sense, there's a similarity that both of them are compiled by multiple authors. So that's the order that we have. Now, Marsha points out, Eov actually does end on a happy note as well. The fact is, at the end of Sefer Eov, you have that Hashem says to the friends, I'm very angry at you, you didn't speak properly, we'll learn about that later, and Eov davens for them, and Hashem restores all of Eov's fortunes. And he had even twice as much as he did before. So it has an achris as well. So the same way as Ruth has an achris, so does Eov. But first of all, again, the vote is that the achris, the aftermath of Rus is much greater because it's songs and praises to Hashem. Yehiv winds up, he has greater wealth, big deal. Especially because the Gemara is going to bring an opinion later on that in fact the vote with Yehiv was that Hashem rewarded him extra in this world so that he doesn't have a place for Olam Habah. The Gemara is going to bring that later on, according to one opinion, that he was from almost the Olam and he lost his place in the Ramba because of the way he spoke about the Eibishter. So then there's certainly not really an Achris to it, and therefore it's not appropriate to put it at the beginning. So that's the order of the Sfarim.
He was an advisor of power, right?
There's an opinion that he was an advisor of power. We're going to have later on, the Gemara is going to go through many, many different opinions when Eov lived. Yeah, you have to learn a lot of different things that it says about him. So the Gemara starts off. Mi Kosvan, who wrote each of these Sfarim of Tanakh? Moshe Kosev Sifrei. So first of all, Moshe wrote his Sefer. He wrote the Chamisha Chumshei Torah at Hashem's dictation. Or Parshas Bilam and the Parsha of Bilam. Now, what does that mean? Rashi explains it means Parshas Balak, all the Nevuos, the Bilam. They're not necessary they're not really directly connected to Moshe's Torah and all of that. They're kind of a side thing. It could, after all, the Pesuk could have just told us a few times Bilam tried to curse the Jewish people and Hashem made it into brachas. Doesn't have to go through the whole detailed story and all his nevuos. Nevertheless, it's included in the Torah. That's called Parshas Bilam. There are many different other opinions among the Ritzvah brings a different opinion that no, Parshas Bilam does not mean Parshas Balak as we have it in the Torah, but rather a different sefer that Moshe wrote that contained the other nevuos of Bilam, which has since been lost. The Ritzvah says that's what it means, Parshas Bilam over here. And then there are Mephoshim who explain that Sifrei over here doesn't mean the entire Torah. Of course, Moshe did write the whole Torah, but they explain that Sifrei means Chumash Devarim, and it means in the sense that Moshe wrote Chumash Devarim and Parshas Bilam and Parshas Balak in the same way, in other words, as like almost like as his own thing, Shechinim and Averis and Terech Groinoi, rather than the Eibishter dictating it to him word by word like with the other Sfarim. There's a lot of different other explanations what it means that Moshe wrote these. The Eov, and also Moshe wrote Sefer Eov. Now, one thing is, you know, I mentioned before that Amban and the Malbim have opinions when Moshe wrote it, but, you know, we find the whole Sefer Eov, the purpose of the Sefer is basically to discuss this point, why do we have Tzadik V'Raloi, Rosh V'Tovloi? Moshe, we know, was very deeply concerned about that. Already in Mitzrayim, he's saying to the Eibishter Loma HaRe'os Olam HaZeh, later on, he says, Hareini Noas Kredecha, Hashem, show me your glory. I want to understand how you run the world. And Hashem tells him, V'ra'isa Sachorai, all you can see is my back, like the aftermath of things. So therefore, so according to, and the Gemara explains that Moshe wanted to know, why is there Tzadik V'Nalai? Why is there Rosh HaVetovai? So then the idea would be that he wrote Sefer Eov as like his researchers and like his answers and his discussions of this point. Why is there this? And again, ultimately the answer is that Eibishter comes and tells Eov that no boss of a dumb can fully understand that. And then even we don't have time to write the Sefer. You know what? Haven't you ever heard the expression? If you want something done, give it to a busy person.
Yeah.
So you know, yeah, they know how to maximize their time. Yeah. So Yeshua wrote those. So Moshe wrote those things. The Yeshua cause of Sifra. Yeshua wrote his own Sefer Yeshua. Ushmona Psukim Shabbat Torah. In addition, he wrote the last 8 Psukim in the Torah from Vayomas Shom Moshe until the end. The Gemara is going to bring soon. We'll learn tomorrow, Best Hashem. The Gemara brings another opinion about that. But our Braitha is following an opinion that Yeshua wrote those after Moshe passed away. Next, Shmuel Kosev. I should mention, by the way, not everything that the Gemara says over here about who wrote which Sefer is universally agreed to either. For example, the Abarbanel, in his introduction to Sefer Yeshua, he learns that it was actually Shmuel who wrote Sefer Yeshua. He points out, you have a few times in Sefer Yeshua, it says that such and such exists ad hayom hazeh. It would be odd for Yeshua to write that during his own lifetime, as opposed to Shmuel a couple hundred years later. It makes better sense. So, similarly, the Malbim, except that we're going to say over here that David wrote Sefer Tillim and used the contributions of 10 previous Chachamim, the Malbim learns, for example, that there are Kapitlach Tillim that were written after David's times. He explains, he writes that Kapitl Samach Vav was written by Menashe Melech Yehuda after he did Tshuva, and Kapitl Pei Gimel was in the times of Yehoshaphat, and Pei Hei was at the beginning of the Second Beis Hamikdash. He says, basically, as long as there was Nevuah, as it was until the beginning of the Second Beis Hamikdash, then it was valid to write new Kapitlach Tillim. Okay. Shmuel Kosev Sifrei. Shmuel wrote his own Sefer Shmuel, the Sefer Shoftim, and also Sefer Shoftim, which tells the history of the Shoftim up to his point. The Rus, and Rus, which takes place during the time of the Shoftim. One point is, Mefarshim explains specifically why he wrote Sefer Rus, and why he wrote it as a Sefer of its own, rather than just including it in Shoftim, is because, again, he wanted to highlight the ancestry of David, especially because he had all these people who were claiming that David, being descended from Rus, is possible love of the Kohol, so therefore Shmuel wanted to write a separate Sefer of its own to highlight that. The Medrash also makes a point that Rus highlights the greatness of Gemilas Chasadim, like what Rus did for Nami and what Boaz did for both of them, and therefore it also deserves to be a Sefer of its own. We'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with this listing of who wrote what Sefer of Tanakh. Yom Yom Mashiach Ogo'ola, Test Shavat. The Rebbe was talking about, as he always did, about Mashiach, and we should have the Poyol Mamash, take off Miyad Mamash, we should have Mashiach, Miyad, with all the explanations in Miyad, including also the idea that Miyad represents Moshe, Yisrael, that is the Baal Shem Tov, and David Malka Mashiach. Especially because actually the word Miyad, the Rebbe points out, also hints at the three periods of three Rebbeim that are relevant to the Friedrich Rebbe. Moshiach and Menachem Shmoy, so there's the Mem, Yosef Yitzchak, and Dover, the middle name of the Rebbe Rashab. So those are the three Rebbeim, those are the three present and future Rebbeim who were alive in the Friedrich Rebbe's times, and therefore the word Miyad represents the three of them. They're also the three that were alive during our Rebbe's times as well, because our Rebbe was 18 when the Rebbe Rashab passed away. Continuing with halachas of Simon Vav, halachas of Asher Yotzar and of Akai Neshama and all that. Yesh Noyegim, some people have the minog, you can find it in Velta Shekehillis, that after the chazan stands by their omud and does Birkas HaShachar and everybody answers Amen, then One of the people from the tzibur also says again all the Birkas HaShachar and everybody answers Amen like that. And they do that. The idea is that way everybody will be able to answer Amen 90 times every day. Because there's an idea, there's a verse that says the word tzaddik stands for, among other things, that a person says 90 times Amen, 4 times Kedusha, 10 times, I don't remember what the 10 is, and 10 Kadeshim, that's what it is, and 100 Brachas. So you want to be able to answer 90 omens, so therefore they do like this, they repeat the Birkas HaShachar over and over. Now, the Alter Rebbe says, don't challenge them and say, listen, they were already Yotze with the omen they said first, because when the one who davened by the omen says these brachas, he's not having in mind to be motzi them, they're choyva. Even if he does, they don't have in mind to be Yotze, so therefore they could say the brachas, they could say the brachas again. So you'll find that sometimes in Velta Shasholz, it's not our minute to do that. We just say all the Birkas HaShachar privately at home, and we come to Shul, and the Chazan starts from right before I do.